Hi, this is Alison from Sanctuary, and I'm reflecting on Jesus' story of the rich man who saved up his bumper crops. You can find it in Luke chapter 12. How lonely it is to be rich. For upon a bumper harvest, the rich man thinks to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he says, "I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" He isn't talking with his wife, who might knock some sense into him. He isn't talking with his sons, who will soon enough be squabbling over the inheritance. He isn't talking with the elders, who might raise concerns about hoarding, price fixing, and communal responsibility. He isn't talking with the farmhands whose labour contributed to the abundance. He isn't talking with the rabbi who might remind him of the full quote from Isaiah, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die." He isn't talking with the poor man lying at his gate who could use his excess grain and blankets, and he certainly isn't talking with God. Instead, there he is in an echo chamber, talking by himself, to himself, even addressing himself in the third person. He is the loneliest man on earth, and he doesn't even know it. He sounds like an Australian colonial capitalist. For here we are, currently ranked the wealthiest people on earth. Our houses are the world's biggest. We keep our income and possessions private. We hold nothing in common. We are early adopters, forever buying newer little screens for ourselves. Our print and social media operate as echo chambers, forever reinforcing our point of view. We live alone, we think alone, we make major decisions without consulting elder, community, or friend. As a society, we are unbelievably comfortable and almost completely atomized, and we are seeing an epidemic of depression and loneliness. I'll do this. I'll store my grain. Soul, you have it all. Except, of course, someone to talk with, someone to trust, someone to reflect back, someone to love. Of course, this situation doesn't come out of nowhere. Private wealth was generated when our ancestors stole the land and committed mass murder. Then they cut down forests, built fences, drilled for oil, and mined for gold. Private wealth increased with the evolution of corporations and tax havens. And private wealth is perfected by capitalism, which destroys labour movements and sets worker against worker and everyone against the boss. That system in which each person is an island, entire unto themselves, special and unique and unloved and hollow, and requiring more land, more status, more sex, more stuff to fill the void where God and community once breathed life. It's a shame that the rich man doesn't talk with the pauper at his gate, for perhaps the pauper is Indigenous. Of course, many Indigenous Australians are middle class, but disproportionately many are not. Indigenous Australians experience widespread social and economic disadvantage in health and wealth and education and incarceration. They access services for the homeless at 9 times the rate of other Australians. So perhaps the pauper is indeed Indigenous. And perhaps the pauper knows a thing or two. Robin Wall Kimmerer is a Native American and a member of the Citizen Potawatomi Nation. She describes a fundamental misunderstanding which occurs between Indigenous and colonial peoples. She writes, "When gifts were given to the settlers by the native inhabitants, the recipients understood that they were valuable and were intended to be retained or kept. Giving them away would have been an affront. but the indigenous people understood the value of the gift to be based in reciprocity, and would be affronted if the gifts did not circulate back to them again. Many of our ancient teachings counsel that whatever we have been given is supposed to be given away again. The essence of the gift is that it creates a set of relationships. The currency of a gift economy is, at its root, reciprocity. I think of the lonely rich man, the Australian, who builds himself an echo chamber and talks with no one else. I think of the bumper crop, which he claims for private benefit. And I wonder how things would be different if the rich man understood where wealth comes from. For the bumper crop was a gift from the land. And in a gift economy, a gift means reciprocity, responsibility, and relationship with the land, with the animals, with the plants, and with the people who are formed from the earth. The people of the land in the southeast of Melbourne are the Bunurong people, and it sounds like they had a gift economy. It sounds like they knew relationship. For in 1840, the assistant protector, William Thomas, made this observation in his diary. They are generous among themselves. Those who are fortunate through the day will distribute amongst those who are unsuccessful. Those who are ill are not expected to tramp the bush for food. If children are left orphans, those children are supported among them, and they live in the greatest harmony amongst themselves. And I wonder, before the colonial invasion, were the people of the land in this place, the Gunditj Mara people, lonely? Did their teenagers have eating disorders? Were they medicating children for depression? Or, like the Bunurong people, did they live in the greatest harmony with the land and each other? Did they have a gift economy which cultivated connection and community, reciprocity and relationship? I don't know the answer for sure, but I can guess. And I reckon the gift economy sounds a lot like God's kingdom culture. Don't keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and don't keep worrying, said Jesus. Your Father knows you need them. Instead, strive for God's kingdom, and those things will be given to you as well. Hear it? A gift economy and God's kingdom culture both grow out of a sense of abundance, and both foster relationship, community, justice, mercy, non-anxiety, and love. Can we imagine living in such an economy, gift or God's, in which everything given is to be shared? Can we imagine being rich towards God, letting wealth flow like water, never pooling and stagnating, but always on the move, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the sick, host a banquet, and pay for a battered and bleeding enemy to sleep safely at the inn? Can we hold the Bible in one hand, and Dark Emu, Wandu Mai, and the largest estate on earth in the other, and discover renewed ways of being and belonging in this land? Robin Wall Kimmerer once dreamed she was walking around a marketplace which had transitioned to the gift economy. When she selected coriander and bread, the trader smiled and waved her money away. Gratitude was the only currency accepted. The merchants were just intermediaries, passing on gifts from the earth. She thought about getting cheese, but knowing she would not need to pay for it, she decided to go without. She glanced in her basket and saw the bread and coriander and zucchini and corn. The basket was half empty, but it felt full. She had enough. If the produce had been cheap, she would have taken more, she writes, but because it was all gift, she took what she needed, no more, no less, with gratitude. And with that gratitude, she writes, came relationships as nourishing as the food. Warmth and compassion were changing hands. There was a shared celebration of abundance for all we'd been given. And since every basket contained a meal, there was justice. There was justice. An economy of reciprocal relationships, connection and community. An economy shaped by restitution, restoration, re-education, reconciliation. A city shaped by community orchards, fruit trees on nature strips, resource sharing and food swaps. Baskets filled with bower spinach and eel, potatoes and pig face and roadside apples. People of all nations smiling at each other in gratitude and love. People relaxing knowing there would always be enough to go round. And everywhere you go, people talking and laughing and singing together. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine? That's all for today. Thanks for listening, and God bless you as you learn to see and share God's abundance in this world. Amen.